everybody. This is B. Sal of the Vault of Horror, welcoming you once again to Conversations in the Dark. This is the Vault Cast, and this week in Conversations in the Dark, I am joined by Mr. Brad McCarg of ilovehorror.net, the one and the only Mr. Brad McCarg. Welcome, Brad.
Hello, thank you.
Now, this week, actually, before I say this, I should say that, you know, anybody that's seen Brad's blog knows that Brad is what we call a straight shooter. Brad is somebody who is not afraid to have an unpopular opinion. And, you know, there's been, which I admire, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here, because Brad is not afraid to say if something sucks, in his opinion, even if everybody else around him bafflingly likes it. And so there have been a couple of times, you know, movies like, for example, let's say Grace or Drag Me to Hell, that for the most part, the majority of people who write about such things seem to really enjoy. And, you know, Brad took a stand and he says, you know what, this movie sucks. And he explained why in a very cogent way. So because of that, we're going to be talking this week about quote unquote overrated movies, movies that most people think are phenomenal, but for whatever reason, either Brad or possibly myself, because I don't like everything, thinks is actually a pile of crap. So that's basically what we're thinking of doing, isn't it? Did I explain it well?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Okay. So, well, why don't we start with the two that I mentioned? Because, you know, Drag Me to Hell, I'm not going to say that, like, everybody universally loves it or anything, because a lot of people definitely had issues with it. And it was kind of one of those movies, I think, that had kind of a backlash after a few months where everybody just, like, reassessed it or whatever. I happened to really enjoy it. But I remember that at the time that it came out, you were kind of the lone voice in the wilderness, basically, just trying to tell people how bad it was.
Well, I went into it expecting a Sam Raimi film.
And what'd you get?
Not really a Sam Raimi film, because, my biggest problem with it is the fact that people were considering it Sam Raimi's return to horror. Sam Raimi was never a horror director. That would be like calling James Cameron a horror director. Didn't he do Piranha 2?
Yes, he did. That was like, I think that was his first movie.
Yeah, that would be like calling James Cameron a horror director. He's not a horror director.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a big difference between Piranha 2 and The Evil Dead. I mean, when you break in making The Evil Dead followed hard upon by The Evil Dead 2, that kind of puts you on the map, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can kind of concede to that, especially since he also had Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness. But since then and in between then, he has directed no horror films. He's become now more well-known for his Spider-Man films.
True.
He's directed dramas, For the Love of the Game. He's directed thrillers.
Simple Plan,
that's it. I was thinking Blood Simple for some reason. That's the Coen Brothers.
Who are his buddies, by the way.
Yeah. Did he direct or produce The Gift?
I think he directed that, because I remember when he signed up for Spider-Man, he had to finish that up first, I think.
But that wasn't his script.
Right. No, I don't think it was, but he directed it.
So, everyone is basically, it's like, oh my god, Sam Raimi, who wrote and directed Evil Dead, considered one to be one of the most, best horror films, I guess one of the most iconic, universally loved.
True.
By most people, just because it's fun, and it's a genuine scary film, if you look at it, in 1982. But,
especially the first one.
Yeah.
Second one is funny.
Second one, it's got too many comedic elements to be considered straight horror.
Which I think is what he was going for. You know what I mean? I don't think it was, like, not what he intended.
See, that's the thing. I mean, it was marketed poorly.
Yeah. Well, I remember... I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I actually remember as a kid... Now, I guess I'd have to be about, I don't know, maybe 12 years old when that came out or something, the second one. And I remember I just remember thinking, that is a movie that there's no way my parents will ever let me see. Like, that thing is just foul. You know what I mean? And actually, now that I look back on it, I probably could have seen it, and I probably would have laughed my ass off for an hour and a half.
It was a funny movie.
Yeah, it is.
It was meant to be. But with Drag Me to Hell, I mean, it's not the fact that it was funny when it was supposed to be scary that bothered me. I thought aspects of it were really funny. And the scene with the goat shadow coming up the stairs.
Yes.
That was cool. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
That was probably the most...
The intro screen was really... The credit screen at the beginning was cool.
Yes, that was the real throwback. I liked that.
The problem with the movie, and the people who like the movie mostly, in my opinion, is...
So wait, you actually have not only a problem with the movie, you have a problem actually with the people who like the movie.
I do.
Okay, go on.
And this obviously doesn't... This probably applies more to just a very small sect of people.
Okay.
They're so blinded by the fact that Sam Raimi did it that they can't look past the fact that the movie is just bad. The script is almost incomprehensibly incoherent. It makes sense as a linear story. There's absolutely no backstory. History and mythology nerd and all that jazz, he completely fabricated a mythology. That's just my own personal annoyance. Well, and just Alison Lohman is awful.
Really? Well,
her dialogue was trash. Absolute trash. Not one decent line. And any time it came close to being just fun, she came out with just this awful dialogue that just totally killed it for me.
What about the scene in the bank with the with the nosebleed?
That was him trying to not only harken back to his Evil Dead days, but it's basically like, we need to sucker in those Evil Dead fans again. Let's more extreme amounts of blood.
See, my thing with it was this, and I actually, first of all, it's funny what you said about the, people kind of not wanting to, being in denial or whatever. Now, I'm not agreeing with you, because I still hold true to my opinion from when I first saw it, that it was a lot of fun. But, I mean, I'll get into that in a second of what was weird about that. But what you're describing almost reminds me of the way that Star Wars fans got right after The Phantom Menace came out, because there was that weird period for a little while where nobody wanted to admit how incredibly bad the movie was. And they were all just walking around, like, trying to convince themselves that it was great.
Yeah.
And that was very sad. And I can relate to what you're saying, but that's what it evokes to me. But I'll tell you, I think that this was a cause of maybe a bit of a backlash. And I when I was sitting there watching it, it threw me for a loop, and then I quickly got over it. Because in much the same way that Evil Dead 2 was sold to people as being just this satanic nightmare of a movie... Drag Me to Hell was marketed as a straight up horror movie, and it is not. It's a horror comedy.
And I think Raimi came out and admitted that there was an issue, not just with, I guess not really with the marketing, but with the fact that he wanted to make a horror film, and it came out more like a comedy.
So he actually didn't want it to be a comedy.
I could be wrong. I remember reading something, but it could be something completely unrelated.
Because I was sitting there, watching it for the first time, and I'm struck by it, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is actually a comedy. But then I was disappointed for just a brief moment, and then I got over it, because it was just so, to me, it was just so funny and entertaining that I just went with the flow of it, and I wound up enjoying it by the time I came out. It was just, I don't know, it was just a lot of fun. And my problem is, like, there's not that I don't like heavy stuff or whatever, but it just seems like so many... And this will take us to our second movie that we mentioned here. But so many horror movies now are just so heavy and grim, and all the stuff that I really loved when I was, like 17 and thought that every movie should be like. And now that I'm 35, I'm like, why can't we have more fun in horror movies? But it's like Drag Me to Hell to me was like the return to the fun, But since we can't, I don't want to talk about Drag Me to Hell the whole time. We probably could, though. But I remember the other movie that you came out very strongly against. And I don't know. Would you feel like you had more support coming out against this, coming out against Grace, as you did coming out against Drag Me to Hell?
I want to say yes and no. If only because so many more people saw Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That was a much more mainstream movie, wasn't it? You kind of forget that.
Yeah. Grease was, I had to seek that one out and download it.
Yeah, I had to travel into Manhattan to go, like, to a special, theater that was showing it and all this stuff. But, yeah, that was one. It was, like you said, it was a smaller group of people who had seen it, probably. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, sorry.
Well, most people that have seen it that I have found, because I know Pete from Horror's Not Dead didn't like it either. Like, he pretty much hated it as much as I did. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you had at least you had somebody that you knew that, so you didn't feel like you were just, what is wrong with either me or everybody else?
Yeah. It's, with the movie itself, like, I appreciated Paul Soleil's attempt.
Right.
And, aspects of the film, the sound design was brilliant.
The look of it is, it's a great looking movie.
Yeah, cinematography was really good. He just failed to make it the type of movie, and this may come off as a little subjective.
Okay.
He failed to make it the type of movie that the theme he was going for and the content required.
What do you mean by that?
The movie should have been approached, and obviously, I'm not a screenwriter, so, my opinion's barely valid in this. But given the theme, the idea of, possible spoiler alert, the idea of a woman realizing her baby's essentially a bloodthirsty monster.
And not really even going to the doctor.
Yeah, aside from the fact that it painted her to just be an idiot. And I understand maternal instincts, love of your kid, blah, 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 whatever. It didn't approach it, it didn't focus on the psychological aspects, which, in my opinion, if anyone who knows me knows this, in my opinion, is the best part of horror. Psychological horror is the best way to make a horror film.
I'd agree. I would agree. I think that, with that movie, and I thought it was, I personally thought, and I'm not, I'm coming off as the guy who likes all movies, and I'm going to have to, shatter that after we finish talking about Grace, but I did enjoy Grace also, but I think if you can enjoy a movie like that, I don't know, that's a weird word to use for it. I don't know. I was engaged by Grace. That's like saying you enjoyed Schindler's List, I was.
Great popcorn flick.
That's tough to say.
Even more Transformers though.
Yeah. But I think one of the issues I had with it, I did have in it, is that it tries to deal with the psychological aspect, but it's incredibly simplistic with it. And it doesn't, it's just, I am the mother, I am going to protect this baby, and there's never an issue of, what the hell is going on? What do I do? It's just, it's a very, black and white thing, yeah. I thought. It was almost like the way the Dawn of the Dead remake, and we talked about this when we did the commentary thing to Dawn of the Dead, in the remake, it's just, the whole psychological thing is just out the window. It's just like, oh, well, the dead are returning to life. Okay, well, how are we going to survive? And no one stops and says, why is this happening? How is this happening? Like, there's no internal monologue whatsoever going on.
Yeah.
That was probably the weakest aspect of Grace.
For me, it just, I'm watching it and, it had the slow start. The characters I thought were awful. What was Jordan Ladd's name in it?
Oh, I forget what her character's name was.
But she, aside from just making the dumbest decisions ever, the whole lesbian subplot, however minor it may have been, was just stupid. Well, I wish I could defend it better, but it was just stupid. It had no place in that movie.
Well, the one thing they did, though, that was at least somewhat interesting with that was when you don't, in the beginning, you don't really see it coming. The basically, the father, the husband, is just kind of an accessory. You just get the idea that there was no love there, and basically she just kind of decided she was going to go, you know, straight or whatever you want to call it, just so she could have a baby. Because the minute he's dead, it's like he never existed.
You make a good point. Never really thought about that.
So like, but that's why I was okay with that part of it, because it added kind of an interesting layer where you're it added like a little detail to her character, where you're thinking of her as this woman who kind of made this difficult choice to go against her own instinct, because she probably loved the midwife, you know, but she wanted to like actually conceive a child or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know, but no, I like no, that aspect.
That actually makes perfect sense. I just think it definitely didn't help the film. I mean, this movie, I watched it, I wrote the review, and then I watched it again months later, and I was just in awe over how bad it was. So compared to Drag Me to Hell, which I've seen several times, I don't have as much of a foundation, I suppose.
So,
or as much of a vested interest in it.
Right. So you,
I like my own personal opinion as an outsider viewing the film. Technically a good film, script-wise terrible, awful characters. It just maybe it was a perfect example of hype, because it was my most anticipated film of the year.
Ah, and it's funny that you bring that up, because I want to talk about a movie that I've always found to be vastly overrated, and this is going back a couple of years. It's not as recent, but it's because of the same exact reason. I did a list actually of my opinion of the most overrated horror movies, you know, of all time, a few weeks ago on the Vault of Horror. I think it was last month. And actually, most of the movies on the list that I put are not necessarily even movies that I hate, but they're just movies that I think it's ridiculous the kind of reputation that they've gotten over the years, of just so far beyond what they deserve. And actually, Army of Darkness was one of them. And I put, you know, the original Friday the 13th is one of them. Hellraiser was one of them, in my opinion, anyway. But my number one, and this is something which baffles me, because I almost feel like the community of fans kind of turned, and I just stayed in one place, and it's the Blair Witch Project. Because, okay, I remember seeing that movie when it first came out, and the hype was huge. This was like one of the first big internet marketing campaigns, and they made such a big deal out of this and that, and I really felt like I got just tricked. Yeah, I got tricked, basically. I felt like I got tricked. I walked out of that movie angry, just thinking like, this new invention of the internet has fooled me, you know, and I was just, oh. Because this was the first time they really ever did that. You know, they had all the weird, like, viral vignettes and stuff. Like, nobody had done that before. And I just remember sitting there thinking, like, okay, I can admire the minimalism of this. But, I mean, it's to the point of ridiculousness, because it infuriated me. Because I just felt like there was nothing happening. It was just a bunch of teenagers, or whatever they are, in the woods, just panicking about various noises and things that they saw. And, you know, there's no plot, which I guess is, you know, and of course the defense of that is, well, that's what it's supposed to be. You know, that's what everybody's defense of it is. Just because it's supposed to be that doesn't mean that I'm supposed to like it, you know. The only thing that I liked was the last scene got me, but that was it. And I'm waiting an hour and a half for that, you know.
But the last scene, I'm gonna give you a good rebuttal, because I actually really like the Blair Witch Project for a variety of reasons. But the problem with the last scene, which I do think is really effective, you know, at the time my 16, 17-year-old mind didn't grasp it, but it was an obvious setup. When at the very, very beginning, the old man is like, he used to force the kids in the corner while he killed the other one.
Yes.
Well, it's like, you knew something like that was going to happen.
I agree, and I did see it coming, but the weird thing is, even though I saw it coming, to actually see it happening, and that was the one situation where the realism of the movie and the way it was realistically shot was actually worked, because to see it happening and it's so believable. You're watching it and you're almost believing in your head that this is really happening. It kind of, it was very powerful for me, but that was it. That was really, that was literally it. The rest of the movie was just, oh, I thought it was a waste. And the crazy thing, and I'll let you continue, but the crazy thing is, I remember, okay, when that came out, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know if anybody can back me up. I seem to remember the general consensus was, whoa, what a piece of crap. We thought this was going to be great. But then fast forward 10 years later, and it's like it's hailed as like this classic of the 90s. And I'm sitting there thinking like, wait, didn't everybody hate this movie? I mean, am I wrong? I don't know. Am I crazy?
Yes and no, and I'll start with the no. You're not crazy because there are only a small handful of films that deserve a status like that. The Blair Witch Project is not one of them.
Well, yeah, it's gotten so... It went from being... Yeah, it completely went in the other direction, whereas now the reputation of it... I mean, it's bigger than it deserves.
There's a reason for the reputation.
For the influence of it.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's an age thing, too. I don't know. I always hate to do that and sound like crazy old guy. But I think maybe if you were like a teenager or like even younger when this thing came out, it probably really, really freaked you out. Like I was already married. You know what I mean?
old man.
I was married for a matter of weeks. came out, but I was married.
Okay, the movie. Too, I'm gonna try and formulate my thoughts here. The movie is clearly effective. Obviously, fear is subjective. It's not going to scare some people. It's going to scare others, just like Paranormal Activity did. The film is clearly can clearly be approached in the way it's viewed. You watch it, you know, in the daytime on the computer screen or whatever on a small TV. Not going to have the same effect. I watched it at a midnight screening, and theater was filled. I left. I got home. I was terrified.
And it's funny that. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue, because I just thought of something.
Well, beyond that, it's. Blair Witch Project, it didn't start it, but it single-handedly ushered in the whole idea of cinema verite for horror films.
Totally. Yep. I mean, Cannibal Holocaust does that, but it was like Cannibal Holocaust and then nothing for 15 years. You know what I mean?
Cannibal Holocaust was not cinema verite.
Yeah, but that's what they were going for, though. I mean,
that's what they were going for.
You can argue as to whether they succeeded or not, but it's definitely what they were going for.
Yeah. Beyond that, based on that influence alone and what it has done for horror, it was essentially the first of its kind.
Yes.
Play up the whole idea of based on a true story, obviously within the realm of horror.
That's true.
Based on the idea of a true story, it fooled people, which, give or take, you know, that's a moot point almost.
Well, because I couldn't shake this feeling at the time, especially, that it just built up a lot of ill will because people like totally gave themselves to it and it didn't give them enough back. And they felt, yeah.
That in the end just comes down to personal opinion.
True.
I think it did perfectly. I thought it was a little slow to start. And I hated, what's her name? Heather. She was retarded, epically retarded.
What was that?
She basically also, this is one thing that I hate her for, or hate the filmmakers for. She started the whole, we need to film it, we need to film everything.
Oh, you mean the Diary of the Dead philosophy.
Fucking, it was done in Cloverfield, it was done in all that shit.
Yes.
I fucking hate that. That's why I like Paranormal Activity. Well, got a reason for it.
Right, yes. Well, because that is the one downfall of that whole technique is you never believe that people would really do that. Like, the first thing you would do is drop the goddamn camera and run. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But Paranormal Activity does get around that, and maybe that should actually be the last one we talk about. Believe it or not, it's almost been a half hour. But because Paranormal Activity, I mean, we can keep going, but you know, people, I don't want people like jumping from the roof or whatever, you know, while they're listening, you know, hanging themselves or whatever. But what was I going to say? Oh, because Paranormal Activity, this is where the subjective thing comes in, I guess, because that one I actually thought accomplished what Blair Witch was trying to accomplish. And maybe Blair Witch broke the ground. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who feel the exact opposite. And I think you're probably one of them, but there's a lot of people who feel the exact opposite. But I'm sitting there watching it, and I saw both of them in a theater, and I'm thinking, and I came home from that at my ripe old age with the exact reaction that you described with Blair Witch. I'm laying there like an idiot in my bed, you know, like totally freaked out thinking about Paranormal Activity. And they got around the camera problem, like you said, which was great.
Well, save for, you know, I was planning on writing this huge defense of Paranormal Activity and Mika, whatever his name is, his actions.
Oh, that's a tough stance to take.
I think I didn't put this in writing because I knew it would get a lot of shit. And obviously, this is just my own opinion.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a firm believer that cinema verite is the most effective way to frighten the viewer. Hands down, the most effective way. For obvious reasons, too.
Right.
Paranormal Activity, and for anyone listening, you can disagree all you want. I honestly consider to be a standard for what genuine, terrifying horror film should strive to follow.
So you actually liked it. Okay, I don't know, for whatever reason,
Oh, I put it
okay.
number two, best of the year.
Oh, okay. Oh,
But
I thought we disagreed. I don't know why I thought that, but
if you go to like when I first went on Stumble Upon on my top horror movies of the year, the comments are like, "How can you say you like horror and put Paranormal Activity on the list? Paranormal Activity was a total bore. Paranormal Activity, seriously?" And I am so sick of people saying that Paranormal Activity was so amazing. You have to look, I mean, when you look at the movie, you clearly have to approach it subjectively. Well, I mean, you have to approach any horror film in a subjective manner. It's because not everyone is going to be afraid by the same things.
true. I
But,
yeah.
well, the way the film is approached, the subtle tricks that Oren Peli used, the absolute sheer minimalism of the film, that movie is proof that you don't need a lot of money. All you need is a simple idea and a camera to make an effective horror film. And I honestly think it is the most effective. And when I say effective, I mean a horror film that actually tries to scare you and not just entertain.
I agree.
It is the most effective horror film ever made.
Well, that's quite a bold statement, but I do agree that it definitely is one of those few horror movies that, and again, it's all subjective, but I'm speaking generally here, and I think in a general sense, meaning most, the general viewer, I think, would find this movie to be far more legitimately terrifying than the vast majority of horror movies that they're going to see, especially, you know what I mean, on any given basis. And I agree. I mean, it's done in a very believable way. You know, it's a very slow build, and I guess maybe people had a problem with that, but I just felt like there was just such a hanging, and it could be because I already knew a lot about it, there was just such a hanging sense of dread over everything that it carries you through the parts where not much is happening, because it's the anticipation of what you know is going to happen, or what you're trying to imagine is going to happen. Like when I reviewed it, I described it as like an IV drip of horror. Like it's
I like it.
slowly feeding you
Yeah,
know.
it's a quintessential slow burn.
Yes.
But back to what you said about the anticipation aspect of it, I highlighted that as being one of the reasons it is that good. Even on scenes where nothing happens, and you can tell he does it on purpose. Where,
Yes.
you know, the first time a door will move, second time they'll hear a noise, blah 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 blah. And then in the middle of it, They'll do the cycle where the thing speeds up.
Yep.
Nothing happens. It's a normal night.
Yes.
And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat, just waiting for something to happen. Because he's got you. By that point, he's got you in, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know something's going to happen, but you don't know what. And you know it's going to be terrifying. And he didn't just... He obviously, you know, it was the escalation of it all that made it creepy, but he did more than just, you know, noises and bumps in the night. He actually, with, what was the girl's name? Katie.
Yes.
With her, I mean, involved her. It wasn't just the family being haunted. He gave it a backstory.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just her being freaked out. It actually got her into her being possessed.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And, like, you think you listen to it in like the first night. This is what I thought. Some of the things that I thought were incredibly brilliant about the film are things that I picked up on, like, the, you know, not immediately, it was, you know, looking back on the film and talking about it with other people. And then on second viewing, I saw it 3 times in theaters.
Wow.
Like the first night, you can very faintly hear the keys drop.
Okay.
In the kitchen. And if you're not paying attention or listening for it, you won't hear it. So when she goes downstairs and she's like, why are the keys in the middle of the floor, blah, 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 blah. And then just the little stuff, the typical haunted house stuff of the creaking floors, the lights turning on, which I can understand in an argument. It's like, why would the demon turn off lights and turn on lights?
But I think it would be doing it to freak them out.
Yeah, it's just a toy with them, essentially.
It's not like it needs to see where it's going, you know? But
the best, like, the scariest parts that I thought were, like, when, and again, this is on the presumption that everyone has seen this already, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Spoiler alert.
When they climb into the attic, and she was like, where did you find that? And he was like, over your bed. That was terrifying.
Yes, yes. It was. It's these little things that just, that add up, though. And it gets in your head. I think a lot of the in horror movies that really work like that, a lot of the fear is what's actually happening in your head. And that you can't really make somebody experience that. Either they're going to or they're not. And that's why I think it's tough with a movie like that. It was weird how that one was a movie that got a backlash and wound up with so many people calling it overrated, speaking about overrated. And in that case, I think, and you'd probably agree, I just didn't agree. I felt like it really did, for me, it lived up to what it was supposed to do. I was very, very satisfied with it.
He even went so far as to just completely mix up the slow burn tension and jump scares.
Yep, that's
like,
true.
One of the creepiest parts of the movie is when they're just lying in bed and then you just hear this scream that just starts off really faint, gets loud, and then it hits the wall.
Yes.
That creeped me the fuck out.
And yet the crazy thing is now, the weird thing, and I talk about the reaction when Blair Witch came out, and I remember the people in the theater being like audibly disgruntled by the end of the movie. And the crazy thing was, the same exact thing happened at the end of Paranormal Activity, which just proves to me that, you know, the people with negative opinions are just the loudest. Because even at the end of that movie, it was the same reaction I remember from the end of Blair Witch, which was people in the audience, at least a handful, just being like, that was it? What was that? Well, that was stupid. You know, but except that time I didn't agree with them, you know, but you can't, I don't know, it's a subjective thing and you can't just make somebody feel it. It's like, I compare it to, you know, when I get into it with people, cause I love baseball, it's my favorite sport, you know, and there's people that consider it so, so boring. But I think if you're invested in it, the same thing with a movie like Paranormal Activity, if you're invested in it, it's the moments when nothing is going on, where you're the most riveted to your chair because you're just playing out in your head all the possibilities of what could happen. That's baseball, you know, to me.
In regard to the ending, and I know we probably want to wrap this up soon, so I'll be quick. In regard to the ending, I thought the theatrical ending wasn't brilliant, but it was perfect for the film. Save for the part when, you know, the lunging at the camera at the end. That was it was obviously an attempt to appeal to, you know, pop horror sensibilities.
Yes, that's
I thought
true.
it'd be cool if she just looked at it and turned off the camera.
That's true, yeah.
That would be badass. But you know, by the time she goes downstairs, and this all comes back to the anticipation aspect, because when he's like, we're leaving, and she's like, no, let's stay, let's stay, let's stay. And then she says, everything's going to be okay, and you hear her voice audibly drop.
Yes. And she gets
Terrified
that.
the crap out of me, and brilliant.
And she even got like a
Absolutely
weird
perfect.
smile on her face too,
Oh, yeah, it was
actually.
perfect. So you knew everything after that was, I mean, it was just going to be hell.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's pretty much where he decided to end the film, which, you know, more power to him for not dragging it out. But that alone made the whole thrown at the camera thing perfect. Obviously, I think it could have been done better. I like the unaired ending.
Which I never saw, by the way. I still have not seen that other ending.
Are you talking about the one with the cops?
Yeah, I mean, I know what it is, but
Not that one.
yeah. Oh,
There was one
not.
that was screened once.
Oh, wow. Okay, I don't even think I know this exists.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, spoiler alert. She's holding a knife. Like, she's back in the room and she's holding a knife.
Okay.
And she looks at the camera and she slits her throat.
Oh my God, really? And do you see the whole thing?
I don't know.
Wow.
I think it's on Horror Squad, actually.
I gotta try to see that. Oh, a little Horror Squad plug. Very nice, very nice. I forgot to mention them. That's cool. Yeah.
HorrorSquad.com. But beyond that, I thought the ending was perfect. It is by no means a perfect film. And to go back to one thing I wanted to mention, but I won't just for the sake of time. Mika's actions are wholly appropriate for the situation within the context of that character. He's an alpha male character. He doesn't want to be pushed around even when all this creepy shit's happening. Is it stupid? Yeah, it's stupid. You fucking leave. Leave the goddamn house, even if it's gonna follow you.
He directly challenges it.
Yeah, he's a hard-headed male.
And basically this entity that was content with just toying with her for her entire life now gets pissed off and just kills everybody.
No, because it burned her house down.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. All right.
It was trying to get to her.
That's true. That's true.
Obviously, you know, you got to start somewhere. Whether or not the explanation is going to be, well, why didn't it just get her immediately? Blah 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 blah. That could easily be rationalized by what the psychic said at the beginning. He's constantly instigating it.
That was great too,
And
by the way, though, when the psychic just shows up at the house and is
it's
just like,
like,
I gotta get out of here.
she's out.
Yeah, like in a just in a very calm, just matter of fact way, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. Goodbye. It was
It's
great.
he was very meticulous with what he did with the film, with
Yeah.
what Pelle did. He knew what he wanted, and I think he achieved it perfectly. People are going to totally disagree with me on it. I think, honestly, Paranormal Activity is one of the best horror films for a variety of reasons. It is one of the best horror films ever made.
Well, you see now, ironically, as we bring this to a close, it is ironic that, we set out to talk about overrated horror movies, and we did, but we wound up in the end talking about a movie which it seems a lot of people think is overrated that we do not think is overrated. So we kind of went in a weird little path there, but it was worth it.
You come to
And
the board.
yes, this has been definitely the longest Conversations in the Dark so far, but you know what? It was completely worth it because
Last.
when you're talking about worthwhile things, might as well just go on for as long as we want. But we got to keep it under control to a certain degree. So we'll have to do this again, definitely. I'll have to have you back, and we could talk about other stuff. But I just want to thank you, and once again, you can read all of Brad's rantings and ravings at iLoveHorror.net and also at horrorsquad.com. Sorry, Scott, I slipped my mind there, but horrorsquad.com, another great site, by the way. So thank you very much for being a part of this tonight.
Thank you for having me, man. I greatly appreciate it.